Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, good morning, Nations Church. How are we? Wow, it's very different up here. Let me just get a look. Man, I love that Pastor Shannon used Isaiah 61 right at the end of the worship there, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to those who are oppressed, to set at liberty those who are held captive." And that's an awesome scripture, and I love it. But it starts like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news." And I'm claiming that for myself today. Praise God, who knows the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and don't I need it? So before we jump into this, let's just pray and thank God for this time. So Heavenly Father, thank You that You're with us. Holy Spirit, help. Thank You that You anoint the words that are spoken, that they touch hearts, that it's Your words that are spoken, because only You can change hearts. Give us ears to hear and catch what You have to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys have been amazing. How good was the worship? That just blessed me so much. The mashup of Joy to the Lord and The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. New personal favourite. That was just incredible. Come on, guys. I got asked to join the worship team long ago. I said, no, I'm not as talented. These guys are just too good, too good. I would rather hide behind a bass guitar than be here. Let's be real. So if you haven't met me, as Shannon said, my name's Josh. My wife and I first joined Nations Church about 8 years ago when we coincidentally bumped into Shannon and Tamara in Cambodia. But looking back now, what seemed like coincidence then looks a lot more like divine providence. Can't tell you how much this church has blessed our lives. So since there's two of us preaching today, we're going to try and be quick. It means I'm up here for a good time, not a long time. So, but as Shannon said, who knows, God doesn't need a long time to touch our hearts, right? So it's the Christmas season. My favourite time of year, personal favourite time of year. I absolutely love it. I was in Malaysia recently, Muslim country, and there's Christmas carols blasting everywhere. How good, like Joy to the World, declaring that Jesus came as Lord. Not just as a prophet, not just as a good guy, but Lord. I was like, man, are they even listening? This is so good. So in the idea of Christmas and in that theme, the scripture I'm bringing today is in the book of Luke, right at the beginning. It's the story of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And God's really been speaking to me through this. So we're going to jump in and we're going to read it together. All right? Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 18 and verse 20. So if you've got Bibles, open those up. If you've got notes, open those up, take some notes. If you've got the Bible on your phone, open it up. We're going to read. So now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen as it was told them. Can we just thank God for his word, for this story that he chose to put in there for our benefit? Thank you, Jesus. So reading this recently, what really jumped off the page to me was the word behold. It just grabbed my attention. I started to think of the Christmas carol we sing, "O come all ye faithful." And there's a line that says, "O come and behold him, born the King of angels." And I asked him, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to behold him? So that's the title of my message, to behold him, right? So I had to look into this. So I went to the Greek. I'm not a scholar by any means, but I like to look at what was originally there, right? And here's what I found. The term behold here is used to draw attention, to place emphasis on something. It means to pay close attention to listen and to look closely, to make sure you don't miss what's being communicated. So it's to grab you, hey, this is really important. Emphasis. Catch this, right? The Greek word here translated see. This also grabbed me. See or seen in this passage means to stare at, to discern clearly, physically or mentally, to attend to experience. Right? So isn't this the invitation we want to give people this Christmas? Right? Come and meet Jesus. Come and see who he truly is. Come and experience his love for you. Come and look a lot more closely at the incredible historical event that really happened 2,000 years ago that shapes your life, shapes your culture, your morals, your values, everything around you, and you may not even be aware of it. Come and look and see. I mean, it literally numbers our calendar. Everyone counts up from the birth of Jesus. They don't even know. So many. Also, isn't this the invitation for us this Christmas, right? To stop, to look, to see, to contemplate, to sit with it, to pay close attention to experience Jesus, right? What if, instead of being consumed this Christmas with the chaos of buying presents, work functions and the like, we stop to actually look and behold him again, right? To see it fresh, to deeply appreciate what it means that he came, to experience that in a fresh way. So I want to ask you three questions about the birth of Jesus, about God writing himself into our story, but also about God writing himself into your story. So the first question is this: do you still feel the awe and the wonder? Have you sat with that recently? So in Luke chapter 2, why was it shepherds that got this incredible news? And how do you think they felt? I can't imagine, man. I want us to catch some powerful symbolism that's actually going on in this passage, right? So the shepherds around Bethlehem, shepherds was a low profession, but these guys, even back then, these guys weren't just any shepherds. These were the shepherds that raised the perfect lambs that were used in the Passover sacrifice. And what they would do, they would get this, they'd be out there, the lamb would be born, they would take that lamb, wrap it in swaddling clothes to protect it from harm, so it would pass inspection. Right, they'd lay it in a stone feeding trough called a manger to keep it. Right, and these lambs were the ones whose blood sacrifice was used to atone, to represent, to call Israel back and say, "Hey, remember that time when there was this angel of death in Egypt, and you guys put the blood over the door, and the angel of death passed over the people of Israel, the children of God, and you were saved." So how do you think these shepherds felt when there's angels in the sky declaring, come, there's this Savior who's been born, he's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger? Do you think these guys caught that? Do you think they actually caught that there's a Savior, that, you know, here is God's perfect sacrifice sent to save his people from death? How good. I love that God set that up. There's so much in the Word. I wonder if they asked questions when they got there. If they went to Mary and Joseph and found out about the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was a virgin and the Holy Spirit had done this. And then they started thinking, hey, wasn't there this guy called Isaiah 500 years ago or so that prophesied exactly this in Isaiah 7? Or what? I wonder if they thought about Isaiah chapter 9, where it says this in Isaiah 9 verses 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there will be no end. Did they pick up on the identity of this child? Man, on top of all of that, the chorus of angels and just the wonder of what God was doing, imagine how they felt, the awe and the wonder of that moment. It's no wonder the Bible says that they return praising and glorifying God. So when was the last time the weight and awesome wonder of God, what he has done for you, that just inspired praise to just well up out of you? When was the last time? Right? Does the incredible miracle that is salvation still fill you with a deep sense of gratitude? Do you just marvel at the goodness of God? Does it blow your mind that God Almighty, the Word who was God in the beginning, before time, space, and matter existed, the Word that by whom, for whom, and through whom all things were created, right? The eternal God humbled himself, took on human flesh, gave up his divine glory, and he came as a baby. Have we thought about that? Recently, I mean, you get used to church and it all just becomes, life just becomes a flow and we just, you know, carry on. But have you stopped to just allow it to overwhelm you again, to feel that awe and that wonder? So for me recently, I've had a real sense of conviction. I've had several experiences while I've either been in prayer or sometimes at random times where I just see myself and it's like the Lord's just pulling away a bit of a curtain and I'm seeing deeper into myself and I'm actually seeing what's really in there and it's not nice. You know, I'm getting a new glimpse of the depth of sinfulness in my own heart. And when I'm reading the Word, it's convicting me. It's really true that it's alive, right? And so I'm seeing how far short I fall of God's standard, but He is so good. He thought that I was worth it. He thinks that you are worth it. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, you are worth what Jesus did. You know, it just blows me away. Just the thought of that, knowing what's inside me that no one else knows. Sometimes I'm not even aware of, but when God pulls away that curtain and I see it, I'm like, ooh. But wow, He loves me. So do you need to stop this Christmas and allow the awe and the wonder and the gift of Jesus, the miracle of salvation, to come alive again for you, to truly experience the joy and the peace that only He can bring? My second question is this. Do you let it change you? The reality of what Jesus did, do you let it change you? So 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says this. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the spirit of the Lord. So the Bible speaks repeatedly to the fallen condition of the human heart. Ezekiel 36 talks about God giving His people a new heart, taking out the heart of stone, giving them a heart of flesh, putting His spirit within them and causing them to walk in His ways. Ephesians 4 talks about since we were redeemed from darkness, putting off the old fleshy nature, being renewed and being empowered to live in holiness and righteousness. Romans 12 too. There's a great memory verse online. If you haven't seen the kids' memory verses in Nations Kids, go watch. They're amazing. Romans 12, 2 is one of them. It says, and that's why I've got it memorized, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll never hear that verse without the beat ever again. So when we behold, we are transformed. All right, we grow in wholeness and Christ-likeness. Are you growing in your wholeness? Are you allowing yourself to be transformed? Are you surrounding yourself, with people that are discipling you, challenging you, praying for you, and praying with you? Are you making time in your schedule to be with Jesus? So beholding Him is an intentional choice. It requires us to make time, to choose to engage, to put ourselves in places and spaces where we can hear His voice, connect with Him, and allow Him to reveal Himself to us. As a side note, are you in a connect group? If you're not, why not give it a go? I can't tell you how much our connect has blessed my life. They think they're coming to a connect that we lead and we bless them. Absolutely not. We started the connect so people will come to us and bless us. Yeah, and it has been such a blessing to our family. I can't even describe. I love them so much. They don't even know how much they have transformed us. I mean, the family of God is just incredible. It's given me a family better than I could have dreamed. So, but for me, I believe one of the best ways to behold Jesus, to truly appreciate Him and get to know who He is and what He is like, is to spend time in the Word. So, I don't know many other things that we as Christians can do that will transform us and have such a profound impact on our lives, right? Hebrews 4:12, as I quoted before, says the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the living Word, right? He's alive, He's active. John 17:17 says God's Word is used to sanctify us and that it is truth. Ephesians 5:26 says that Christ sanctifies and cleanses His church with the washing of water by the Word. The Centre for Bible Engagement recently ran a survey, a huge survey, and published all the data, and with tens of thousands of people involved, and they found that when people cross the barrier from like casual engagement with the Bible to regular engagement, you go to reading the Bible four times a week, engaging with it four times a week, that was the minimum. They found that when you cross and do that, that people are far less likely to give into sinful temptation, far less likely to experience anxiety and depression. I think it was about 30% less, right? They were far more likely to be generous financially, far more likely, I think it was 228% more likely to share their faith with other people, right? And more likely to disciple others. So you can look the stats and the study up on their website, but it just goes to show that you do a scientific study, it validates that the word transforms, right? So do you make the word of God a priority in your life? I'll let you think about that while I take a sip of water. No one tells you how dry your throat gets. So, I want to encourage us, Christians, this Christmas, let's get into the Word. Let's all build a rhythm of being in His Word daily. All right, allow Him to transform us into His image from glory to glory, as we read in 2 Corinthians. Coming back briefly to our story in Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds. In this passage, I wonder if it changed their life, this encounter. I wonder if it changed how they engaged the world. I wonder if it changed how they thought, how they acted, how they lived. Who knows? All it takes is one encounter to change. All it took for me was one encounter to change. I'm only standing here because 16 years ago, I was living a worldly, sinful life, and one day God showed up. I woke up in the morning, aware of His presence powerfully in my room, and almost in an audible voice, I heard Him speak. And I knew I was living life the wrong way. And from that moment, my life just changed. He showed me several near-death experiences I'd had, and He said, I saved your life. What are you doing with it? And it just blew me away, His grace in that moment. And it inspired me to go back to Him again and again and again. And thank you, Lord, He's not done transforming me yet. His word just came alive after that. I tell you, the word just came alive. So are the encounters with Jesus and revelations of His word that you've had driving you to go back and behold Him? Have you stopped to meditate? Think about those times you've encountered God. My third question is this. Do you let it move you to act? What are you doing with it? Right? In Luke 2, the story of the shepherds, in 17 and 18, it says, after seeing Him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They let it move them to act. Something happened. They had to tell people about the goodness of God. So the awe and the wonder of their encounter went beyond them. It wasn't just about them. They told everyone. Well, how about this? The disciples, after their time with Jesus, right, after seeing the resurrected Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out and told everyone about it, to the point where just a few chapters into Acts chapter 17, it says in Thessalonica, there were just a few believers they grabbed and said, hey, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Imagine if that was what people thought about the church today, right? Those who turn the world upside down, that could be us. Why not? We should be, right? Isn't this the natural outworking of our conviction? Jesus Himself put it this way in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So to behold Him is to become like Him, to drink deeply at the well, to be filled with the Spirit and empowered, right, to live like Jesus. So is the outworking of your time with Jesus, your faith and your conviction, resulting in living waters, bringing life to every barren place you find, right? Are you refreshing those around you? Are you looking for opportunities to share living water with your world? I'm challenging myself here too. Man, I need to be doing this more. But Lord, I need Your empowerment to do it. I need to be beholding Him and then letting it flow out, right? So at the end of His ministry, Jesus' final commission was go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we're supposed to take action with what we've been given, with what we've seen. Each of us has been called and we've all been sent. So what does it look like in your world to actively look for opportunities to share the good news, to tell those around you about Jesus? What could it look like if next year each of us introduced just one more person to Jesus? What if just one out of, you share with 10 people, just one of them comes? It's worth it, right? What if just one person, each of us just brings one more person to church? What would that look like? Just one. You know, someone mentioned Red Frogs to me earlier today. Red Frogs, their whole slogan was, go and find your one. Yes. We're on mission, but you just got to find your one. Take them to church. Right? Introduce them to Jesus. So the natural overflow just moves us to act. So the real story of salvation is the best news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Can we? So many times I'm ashamed. I'm worried about what they're going to think if I share. I need to put that aside and just act. We get the privilege of heralding the good news before our generation. So let's go before the King and proclaim him boldly. Amen. So I hope this Christmas you'll be filled with his joy and his peace, that you'll see the Christmas story with fresh eyes, that you'll behold our beautiful Saviour, you'll experience the awe and the wonder of salvation, you'll let it change you, and it's going to move you to act. The Holy Spirit's with you. He's in you. Amen. So let's see more lost found this Christmas and in 2026 than we have ever seen. I'm going to hand over in a minute to Pastor Tam, who's going to talk a bit more about putting our conviction into action. But before I do, I would love to pray for us. So if you could just bow your heads, close your eyes with me, and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would renew our sense of awe and wonder, that we would behold you afresh this Christmas and really engage with what it is. Let it become real and fresh and brand new to us. May we be overwhelmed with your love. Lord, give us a deepened love for your word. May it come alive. Give us fresh revelation and life from the scriptures for every person here. And Lord, give us an awareness of the opportunities all around us and boldness to take action. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.